Tape ID, this is the Massive Attack J-Files, broadcast September 25, 2014, on Double J, end of ID.
It's music.
I'm trying to figure out...
The J-Files.
Music.
I heard you say you fell in love with this song.
I'm trying to figure out...
The J-Files.
Coming from the street.
The J-Files.
Yeah, it's still a great album.
A wonderful accident.
The J-Files, on Double J.
We're more like brothers, really, to be honest. Yeah, we have our ups and downs, and it's a bit of a love-hate relationship we have sometimes. You know, but to come through it after all those years is a good thing, really.
I'll stand in front of you. I'll take the force of the blow. Protection.
Like a soul without a mind. In a body without a heart. I'm missing every part.
It's easy. Don't let it go.
Well, in the mid-90s, if you ever went to a house party or indeed any cafe around Australia, I guarantee you that a CD of this group would be playing at one point. They made trip-hop global, collaborated with so many artists, Tricky, Sinead O'Connor, Liz Fraser, you name it. And if there is one band that has continued to be a huge influence throughout their 26-year career, you guess it, it's Massive Attack. They truly are pioneers and did so many things before anybody else. I absolutely adore them. How about you? My name's Fenella Kernebone. It is more than good to be with you. And with your help tonight, we are going to be exploring the sound, the look and the feel of none other than Massive Attack right here on the J-Files on Double J. Coming up, we explore the roots of the Bristol music scene and how Massive Attack started out. Yes, we've got the quiz, of course. Plus, we dig into some of the stories behind the legendary second album, Protection, which celebrates 20 years this week. Can you believe it? But let's get into it on the J-Files from their most recent album, Heligoland. This is Splitting the Atom. Double J.
It's easy, don't let it go. It's easy, don't let it go. It's easy, don't let it go.
The J-Files.
Smooth, dirty darkness, uplifting therapy.
Like warm honey trickling down my ear holes.
Depends on the album. Sultry, perhaps?
It's visceral. The music gets inside you.
Majestic.
Cinematic.
Sublime.
The J-Files. On Double J.
Indeed, this is in fact the J-Files on Double J. Some great ways of describing some of the music of Massive Attack as we explore their music here on Double J. I'm Fenella Kernebone. It's great to have your company. You just heard Splitting the Atom, a really awesome track from Heligoland, I should say, from 2010. Our very first track tonight as we kick off the J-Files. We may even, if we're lucky, hear another track from that album tonight. So if you have a favourite Massive Attack album or even a Massive Attack song, we'd love to hear from you. So do send us a tweet. The hashtag is @JFiles or #JFiles. And also we'd love to hear your stories as well. So by all means, send us a text. Gives me a chance to read some of them out, your texts, and we can take some of your calls as well. All good.
The J-Files. Call 1-300-099-55 or text 0408-245555.
Indeed, and we've already had quite a few calls come through tonight. Big fans here on Double J for the J-Files of Massive Attack, and I'm pretty stoked because Simon has called through already. Hi, Simon, from Collingwood in Melbourne. How are you?
Yeah, hi there. How are we doing?
I'm good. So you're a huge fan of the J-Files. You saw them play in Iceland, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That was early this year for the Secret Solstice.
And have you been a fan of them for a very long time?
Yeah, since I was 16, so, you know, getting back for when they started, really.
Okay, and what is it about their sound, seeing, can I guess here, so 16, has it been, what, more than 10 years that you've been loving their music?
No, well, I'm 40 now, so,
okay.
Yeah, so 20 years.
So what is it about their sound that you've always loved?
I think it's probably to do with the consistency. You know, they've got a sound that people like, and they just continue to deliver over and over, basically, without, you know, trying to reinvent themselves or go the wrong way, like, you know, a lot of artists do.
Okay. And did you know what they were called before they became Massive Attack, way back
when? No, actually, I learned that tonight on the radio.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's give it a... Thank you so much, Simon. Hope you enjoy the J-Files.
Okay, great.
Good on you, mate. Well, they were, as I said, before they were Massive Attack, they were another group, and they were called the Wild Bunch. And they formed the Wild Bunch in the early to mid-80s, and they were basically a bit of a sound system. They put on parties, they DJed, they did lots of really fantastic things, of course, in the seaside town of Bristol, which we know, Bristol, of course, being the location of some pretty awesome things in the UK. More, of course, on that later on. But the question is, what did the Wild Bunch sound like? Before Massive Attack became the group, what were they sounding like? So we're going to be having a listen now to one of the very few tracks that they recorded as the Wild Bunch, and this goes way back to 1988. And it's their cover of, and I love this, Burt Bacharach's The Look of Love. You might actually know the one that Dusty Springfield did, but this is the Wild Bunch, The Look of Love, Double J.
Double J. Hear it on your mobile, online, on your digital radio or TV.
The J Files.
My name's Bernard Fanning. This next song that I'm going to talk to you about opens with the lines, love, love is a verb, love is a doing word. So it has some very educational qualities about it. The thing that attracted me most to this song is that it begins in the most ominous possible way. It's from kind of mid and late 90s, and there were lots of kind of big buff-headed metal bands around there, new metal and sport metal bands that were trying to make things sound really ominous and tough. And this song did it way, way, way better in such an understated way. It sets you up with this feeling of impending doom, and then the most beautiful, sweetest vocal you could ever imagine comes in and throws light on the whole situation. So I just think that it's one of the most superbly crafted songs, not just of the last 20 years, but of all time. It's an incredible song.
Tell you how much I adore that song. So does Bernard Fanning from Powderfinger. 1998, that album came out, Mezzanine, absolutely glorious. And yes, Teardrop, just beautiful. What do you think? Do you love that song as well? Send us a text 0408 34555 and hashtag, of course, send us a tweet, hashtag JFiles. That song, do you remember the video? It was just so intense. The latex baby video, I call it, the bub in utero, and the vocals, as you could hear there, the wonderful Elizabeth Fraser from the Cocteau Twins. And there's a great story. Apparently, Mushroom from Massive Attack was totally up for Madonna doing the vocals for that song Teardrop. Can you imagine? So they put it to a vote. And Madonna was pipped at the post because the majority of Massive Attack actually voted for Liz Fraser, who also wrote those incredible lyrics. And all I can say is thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for Liz Fraser from the Cocteau Twins. Bit of friction after that. Andrew / Mushroom was a bit peeved and apparently left the band afterwards. Anywho, on the J-Files, looking into Massive Attack here on Double J, you heard before that the sounds of Massive Attack, before they were Massive Attack, as the Wild Bunch. and the vocals there of Shara Nelson doing their version of The Look of Love. And if you are a Massive Attack fan, you'll certainly know that Shara is the voice behind some of Massive Attack's biggest songs. Again, 0408 345555. Had a couple of great texts in already. Steve wrote in and said from Wodonga, love their cover of Light My Fire off the Protection CD. Good memory, Steve. It's a great track, isn't it? Also on Twitter, Brother Juice just said, I love Massive Attack since I was a little kid. Now I can say Daddy G and 3D changed my life. And Daryl Snow said, I will be listening to Massive Attack from now until 10 p.m. right here on Double J. Good one. Me too. I'm playing it. I love the music. It's fantastic. Vanilla's my name, and this is the J-Files on Massive Attack. Of course, we're talking a bit about where they came from, I suppose, and Bristol in the UK, that little town in Bristol, that famous town, is where Massive Attack hail from, and it really was the mecca for trip-hop. So what was it about that town that made it so special? Well, from the Triple J archives, here is fellow Bristol musician Jeff Barrow from Portishead.
It was kind of quite a competitive city, very secretive, competitive city. So what would happen is that people would, they weren't live bands, so you wouldn't go and see these bands play. They more like had cassettes, so, you know, the hip-hop crews, and you would hear someone's got a new cassette, or to the point where when the DJs used to play out, they used to put gaffer tape over the record so no one knew what they were playing. It was really, it was like proper crews, you know. It sounds weird now, but I kind of think it's, you know, Bristol bands have never bowed down to kind of the London industry. In fact, they fought it viciously. You know, Massive Attack were called War Bunch, and they were kind of like the biggest hip-hop crew around that time. And they were kind of international. They used to go off to Japan and off to New York loads, and they were like the gods of kind of Bristol. It's like, you know, how big they were, really. And everybody kind of looked up to them, and then they got a management deal and started working with like artists like Nana Cherry, and her, then in turn her husband got them a record deal with Fruit, and they developed as Massive Attack.
The influences of the Bristol sound were eclectic and far-reaching. The offshoots of people associated with Massive Attack went on to do some really interesting things.
So, you know, there's a big dubstep kind of thing with Joker and Pinch and you know, lots of urban stuff kind of happening. And then, obviously, Tricky was with them. Nelly Hooper, who was in Massive Attack, went on to do Bjork's album. He was a big, big producer in his own right. You know, I was a kid, you know, at the time, I was like 16, 17 or something, and I got lucky. I worked as a tape op making tea for Massive Attack's first record, and I met their producer, Johnny Dollar, and their manager. I was making beats, I suppose, and they said, yeah, we'll put you on a, you know, on a little bit of an advance, and then you can work for Massive Attack, not writing on their records, but just kind of as a prospect.
That prospect became Portishead and the seminal album, Dummy. Juanita Stein from Howling Bells describes the movement as the Bristol myth.
Every time Howling Bells have gone to play a show in Bristol, it's always felt that extra bit special because you imagined all the, you know, all the players from Portishead or Massive Attack or Tricky just kind of walking around and, you know, passing out after gigs in back alley lanes and jamming, you know, after hours in some dark jazz bar or something. But for me, it's a very, very romantic scene. I feel like it's influenced a profound number of bands and artists.
It just so happened that when Massive came out and we came out and Trix came out, and it just, you know, it was a sound that the kind of world, you know, went along with.
On Double J, you're listening to The J Files.
On Double J, bit of a rarity for you, bit of a treat. That's taken from the back of the Double J locked cupboard. Not even I'm allowed the key. my friends, but that's just to give you a bit of a sense of what that Bristol sound was like and the influences, the stuff that preempted the music that became the Wild Bunch that then became Massive Attack. And what you're listening to right now is a piece called Storm the Reality Asylum, and it's from a group called Rip, Rig and Panic, who were a post-punk band that started off in about 81 in Bristol. And they, you know, lots of jazz, lots of pop, lots of soul, all the sorts of things that filtered into the sounds of Massive Attack. It even had Nina Cherry on their band as well. Well, it is, of course, the Massive Attack J-Files on Double J. I'm Fenella Kay, and I tell you what, 0408 34 5555 if you want to send an SMS, or you can tweet, hashtag J-Files. Simon Marlin just wrote in and said, teardrop, oh my God. How good is that sinister beat and vocals? I agree. Angela says, my favourite track is Unfinished Sympathy. The first, basically, I first saw the video in Berlin travelling Europe in a combi van. Instant favourite and still is. Play at my funeral. Oh, beautiful stuff. Unfinished Sympathy, of course, one of my favourite songs. We may play that one a bit later on. You never know. You never know. Now, coming up, of course, on the J-Files tonight, totally looking forward to doing this. It is the quiz. We have a wild bunch of Massive Attack questions for you, looking for the biggest, the best Massive Attack fan here in Australia. Also, you'll hear that really glorious song, Protection. Got a bit of an intriguing story behind the making of Protection as well, which I can hardly believe it, but it celebrates 20 years this week. But right now on the J-Files, let's get into a live track from the Triple J archives, which was recorded by the BBC, right here on Double J. This is actually one of my favourites from the Mezzanine album, the second track on the album, and it is called Rising Sun.
The J-Files.
Double J.
You're listening to The J-Files.
Those glorious strings, as you can hear, arrangements from none other than Craig Armstrong, a really long-time collaborator with Massive Attack, and that's Sly from Protection from 1994, and those fantastic vocals, courtesy of Nicolette, actually a tweet from Jeff who requested that track. This is the J-Files on Double J. I'm Fenella, hashtag J-Files, 0408 34555. The quiz coming up soon. The quiz is coming up soon, I should say. And we're also going to be hearing from one of the key players of Massive Attack over the years, 3D, as well. Talking about texts and tweets, Justin wrote in on the text line and said, when we were playing that track before from the influencers, or the band that influenced Massive Attack and the Bristol Sound, Rip Rig and Panic, mentions that they were on an episode of The Young Ones back in the day. I think I might remember that one. Also, Donna from Brisbane wrote in and said, I will never become bored with Massive Attack sound. I've been a fan from day dot, and I loved seeing them at the Opera House when they did Heligoland. And Paradise Circus is my favourite song. Gorgeous song. And on the tweets, Andrew Hill just writes in and said, just another example of a British town giving birth to a genre in the 90s. Thanks for all your texts and your tweets. Keep them coming, of course. Tell you what, as I mentioned, 3D, we're going to be hearing from him pretty soon. Also, the quiz, pretty excited about the quiz. Also, we're going to be finding out which Australian psych rock band has done a bit of a top cover of the track called Angel from Mezzanine. You'll be hearing a live track from them pretty soon. Can you guess which band was it? I wonder. But arguably, I think one of their most significant songs, Massive Attack's most significant songs, is from their second album, Protection, which again celebrates 20 years since its release this week. And yes, the title track featuring the glorious vocals of Tracy Thorne. So here is Ben Watt from Everything But the Girl with the story behind that song.
We were big fans of Blue Lines. I mean, that had been a real, you know, seminal record in many ways. But it was definitely a call out of the blue to our office. One of the guys from the band called up and said they were very interested in Tracy singing vocals on the second album, which was to be Protection. And I remember they sent a cassette of all these backing tracks, which were just totally skeletal. I mean, it was literally a breakbeat and a couple of ideas just strung out for 7 minutes. And I remember driving around London with it on in the car, trying to get into these songs, and Tracy was saying, you know, how do we approach this? And finally she went downstairs with the track that was to become Protection, and she wrote the whole lyric and the melody over the top of what they'd sent. And I thought it was astonishing, and we sent it to them, and they were really into it. And you know, that was how the song came about. She went back into the studio and then recorded it again for real, and then they added the arrangement and turned it into a fully fledged song. But in a way, she gave the album its title because she'd written this song called Protection for them.
This girl I know needs some shelter. She don't breathe.
I'm Kevin Mitchell, you're listening to Double J, and there have been times in the past where I've been asked, what's your favourite, you know, song of a particular theme, and it might well be this song that is my favourite love song. One of the reasons the song resonates so deeply with me is because I was introduced to it by somebody who I was madly in love with. I love the sentiment, and I also love songs that have got one-word titles that are really strong and that also deliver that message really, really well. And I think Protection sums up that idea of, you know, when you love somebody and you almost want to be a martyr and put yourself in harm's way in order to, you know, protect them.
The J-Files on Double J.
My name's Jane Tyrrell. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I've worked with and been a part of The Herd, Earth Boy, Horror Show. Tracy's lyrics are just incredible. Just, you know, comfort needing someone to protect you. And I don't know, every time I listen to that, I look at it from a different perspective, which to me means, like, you know, perfect lyrical genius. But it's a really beautiful, beautiful track with beautiful meaning. So there's this lovely kind of journey on Protection where you've got instrumental tracks. There's one with just a piano, I think it's something about weather, and there's this Scottish pianist playing for the whole time, and it just reminds you of like a thunderstorm and like a Sunday night or something. I don't know, there's something really beautiful about that. And then it flips over to a Horace Andy doing his kind of reggae dub vibes. Yeah, it's just a real journey. It's like a film with different, you know, different parts, different scores to different moods. And I don't know, Protection's just really gentle. Even when it's got the swag, it's got this gentleness to it.
They never mind their own business.
The J-Files on Double J.
And Fenella's my name, doing the massive attack. J-Files, yes, on Double J. Kevin Mitchell just there from Jebediah, and also Jane Tyrrell from The Herd, discussing the track Protection and also the album Protection, absolutely seminal album. And remember that music video for Protection, Tracy Thorn and the apartment block where the camera moved in and out of the windows. Do you remember how extraordinary that was? It was so innovative. Michel Gondry, of course, was the director. An amazing animation, you name it. It was really out there and totally bizarre and absolutely mesmerising. And I loved hearing what Ben Watt had to say about Thorn's vocals and her lyrics as well, that she really made that track. It was kind of just, it was just her and, of course, and Massive Attack. Really, really fantastic stuff. And just quickly on the visuals, you know, those music videos are so important for Massive Attack. It's the album covers, 3D, of course, being a graffiti artist, absolutely key, the visuals as well as the music over the past 26 years. Can you tell that I love them? I think you might. Raoul also loves them. Oh, hang on. There he is. Magic. Magic power of radio. Hello, Raoul. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you going?
Good. Now, you're from Melbourne. You have a bit of a cool Massive Attack story. What is that?
Well, I took my girlfriend to the Massive Attack in Brixton Academy probably 11 years ago now.
And was it a bit, you know, because just before that, Jebediah, Kevin from Jebediah was saying, it's so much of it, it's about love. You listen to that music and it just makes you feel a little bit lovey-dovey. Did something go on for you there?
It did, actually, yeah. We watched the gig in Brixton Academy, which is absolutely amazing. And then I actually proposed to her that night and we got married. Yeah, it was amazing.
So Massive Attack brought you together?
They did, yeah. It was such, you know, sort of beautiful tripped out music that maybe it was the beats that night that was just amazing. It just it all sort of crescendoed into me proposing to her that evening. It was fantastic.
Nice and blissed out and beautiful. Did you have a song? Is, you know how you've always got that one song? Did you have that one Massive Attack track?
Yeah, You Are My Angel came on that night, and it's just like that bass at the beginning of it is phenomenal. But every time we sort of hear that, we kind of...
You get gooey-eyed, admit it.
We do. We have a little bit of a grin to each other.
Thanks very much, Raoul. Great to have you on the show here on the J-Files talking about Massive Attack. Do you like Comacoma?
I do. I'd love it.
Oh, good, good. Well, this is what we're going to be hearing right now. Raoul, of course, there. And if you want to get in touch, 0408 345555, or you can hashtag us, hashtag JFiles, if you want to send a tweet. Maybe you fell in love over a bit of Comacoma. I don't know, listening to Tricky. Perhaps you did. Here it is, Massive Attack, JFiles.
Comacoma.
Absolutely classic from Protection. Tricky on the vocals there, Comacoma. Palindrome just sent a tweet in. My brother had the Comacoma single, loved it, bought the album, and it's been one of my all-time favourites ever since.
Tuesday nights, Tim Shiel brings you Something More. A diverse mix of tunes to tickle your ears. Be surprised by Something More with Tim Shiel. Tuesday nights at 8 on Double J.
Hi, this is Juanita Stein from Howling Bells. For me, Massive Attack actually played quite an important role in my musical development. That record, Mezzanine, has definitely in my, you know, top 10 albums of all time. It expressed a certain fusion of music. That world hadn't been very open to me up until that point. It fused hip-hop and punk and folk, and it kind of felt like a big, beautiful, dark soundtrack to a movie you'd never seen. The opening track of the record, Angel, kind of encapsulates the whole record, and that it's like magnificently dark
And, you know, not all dark music has to necessarily be depressing or pessimistic. There's something intrinsically captivating about really dark music and artists that are fearless in presenting that. The first time I heard Massive Attack was on the radio, and it sounded so different to everything else that I'd heard on the radio that day or that week or month even. And they're always the moments that make you stop in your tracks. It's like all the times my dad's told me about, you know, the first time he heard Led Zeppelin on the radio or the Beatles. And for me, it was definitely one of those moments that made my heart stop.
The J-Files.
Juanita Stein there from Howling Bells, talking about the influence of the legends, let's say at their pioneers, Massive Attack. My name's Fenella Kernebone, great to be with you on Double J. As you help me, and we play lots of music from Massive Attack, who are our J-Files tonight on Double J. Don't forget to send us your Massive Attack stories, your memories. Maybe you saw them live. I did a couple of times. I mostly remember the one in 2003 in Melbourne. Pretty massive gig. I think I tried to record it on my tiny, like for 1 minute on my little terrible iPhone. No, no, what do you call it? A little tiny phone that we had at the time? It didn't work. Trust me, I got rid of it. Send us a text, 0408 345 555, or you can hashtag JFiles on Twitter. Still to come, of course, here on the JFiles, the quiz. We're going to be crowning the most Massive Attack fan in Australia. And in a moment, we're going to be hearing from 3D, Robert Del Naja, all about the process of recording Mezzanine. But I did promise to play you that cover from a famous Australian psych rock band. Did you have any luck trying to work out who it was who recorded that track called Angel? Well, this is a group that do certainly like to do a cover. They are called Tame Impala, recorded by Triple J's live music team, and this is their version of Angel. No, thank
that
you.
Song was a cover.
Tame Impala there, and their version of Angel from the album Mezzanine. That was recorded by Triple J's live music team. They absolutely killed it, didn't they? Fantastic stuff. Well, let's hear now about the background to that incredible album Mezzanine in 1998. Richard Kingsmill caught up with 3D, otherwise known as Robert Del Naja.
Actually, maybe I might just start with the moniker 3D. How'd you get that nickname?
With all our nicknames, there's no interesting story behind any of them. That's why I'm trying to get rid of mine, because I'm sick of it.
Okay.
Like, if I had a funny story to go with it, and then I could justify it, you know, but I'm getting too long in the tooth to keep calling myself 3D, you know. Nicknames are a laugh for the lads, but, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, I've got to justify it to my mum and dad every time.
Yeah. What, do they get a bit sort of like, why are you hiding behind this nickname? Why aren't you proud of your name?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you choose to go with it in the first place? Was it just a cool thing at the time to come up with a different name?
I think it was that kind of whole sort of thing about being, you know, being a kid, the escapist thing, the superhero thing, then the graffiti thing was very much like having this secret identity, do you know what I mean? Where you go out and, you know, be an outlaw by night and, you know, Clark Kent by day. It's all a bit of a fantasy, but I mean, you know, although at that particular point, the whole hip-hop thing was sort of kind of, it was perpetrating that the same way punk rock did when everyone had names like Sid Vicious and kind of, you know, polystyrene and all those sort of, it's just sort of an ongoing thing from that, really.
Do you still feel hip-hop as being a strong influence in your music? I know it was there very much for you in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, hip-hop drew us into the recording situation, you know, and the techniques, you know, we used then, we still use now, the way we kind of still rely on kind of certain loops to sort of get a vibe from, and, and the kind of whole point of programming a beat in a certain way and trying to get the sounds, and you know, it was a very hip-hop mentality, the electronic sort of style of writing music, really. And so, I mean, it still plays a major role in what we do.
Okay. What about for Massive Attack, working over the three albums that you've made so far? Has the process changed much, especially with this new album?
It always changes. I mean, there's a lot more live instrumentation on this record, but it's still all been sampled in and chopped and cut and pasted the same way we've always done it, you know, moving things around in sort of like in the computer. So you're getting this kind of feel of live sort of dynamic versus the kind of like quite regimented digital structure of putting things into a computer, you know. The idea is to get the tension between those two things. We've always done that. I think there's definitely a bit more kind of edge coming from where we've been going live, you know, on this album.
Yeah, the live guitar, I mean, that's live guitar that you've got on quite a few tracks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something of a new input into the music of Massive Attack too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's something we've been working with, you know, what we're playing out, you know, live for the last few years. But, I mean, in the recording sort of process, we kind of sort of kept away from the guitar for a while, you know. It's something we always, you know, me in particular, always wanted to work with, you know, coming from the sort of like, you know, the new wave thing myself. But it kind of felt that it wasn't relevant at the time, you know, what we were doing, where we were at, and how sort of we were writing music.
And why is it more relevant now, just because of the live work that you've been doing over the last few years?
It's to do with the live work. It's to do with the feel you get off stage. And when you try and intensify a track using a guitar, it obviously gives you a lot more power to intensify parts and bits of music, you know, and create a contrast between the sort of lighter moments and the harder moments. And it's also because, you know, it's the start of this album, you know, I said to G, like, you know, I kind of felt I wanted to look back at that kind of period where going from sort of new wave into hip-hop, that sort of few years when I went from the Clash, you know, and the Slits and Public Image into sort of like getting into sort of like reggae music and then into sort of like early electro, like Planet Rock and stuff, you know. And I felt that sort of, we hadn't really explored that particular area of our lives, even though it was really important to us, you know. And so, you know, I started sort of digging out old records and getting vibes from like Gang of Four and Wire and, you know, the Clash, obviously, and Slits and you know, the Cure and stuff, and started trying to, you know, work my head around some ideas.
Okay, that's interesting. That period of music, there was so much happening at that point in time. It's just funny that when the 80s progressed, it became worse and worse and worse. If there wasn't hip-hop in the 80s, there would have been absolutely nothing in that decade.
Yeah, hip-hop really brought us all back to life, I think. I mean, you know, there was, I mean, that point, I mean, you know, the punk thing obviously was like the major sort of feature of the late 70s, and that started to kind of like disintegrate a bit, and only a few bands who sort of like were progressive, like say Public Image or whatever, kind of sort of shone through. And you know, the rest of it sort of did sink a bit. I mean, you had the Ska Revival thing, which was interesting, you know, the Specials were cool, but apart from that, the whole new romantic into the electro sort of way of writing just got really dull. Hip-hop came along and completely opened everyone's eyes again. It was just like being back in punk again. It was like a whole new sort of way of immersing yourself in a whole style of music, you know. It was great.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of reviews for the new album, and they've described the use of guitars as quite punkish on this new album. I guess they're just trying to say that you don't go for the quiet moments of guitar work where you've got nice, neat little lines. You've actually got some quite raucous chords happening in there. Did that sit very well with your music straight up, or did it take time to work into it?
It's hard to sort of remember, I mean, because like, we got so many tracks we didn't finish, you know, got so many things we did and directions we went in which we never came back from, and you know, sort of dead ends we went up, and a lot of things work, a lot of things don't, and, you know, it's kind of like anything we do, the guitars, if they feel right in a certain place, they work the same way as a sort of string piece would, or a sort of brass part, or just a straight synth line or a bass line, you know. It's kind of like, it really depends on the track. The tracks that you hear on the album is where the guitars really started to work, and there's other tracks which we discarded where it didn't work at all.
Okay. So is Massive Attack's music very much by trial and error?
It's not trial and error, it's experimentation, though, and I think if you're going to experiment, you know, you're going to take yourself off in directions which you can't necessarily justify to the other guys. I mean, I've been in the studio on my own, sort of going up with Neil, like a producer, and working on tracks which I didn't know where I was going to end up, you know, so I couldn't really, or I didn't want to involve anyone else until I got to a point where it became a part of, you know, something tangible. That's often, you know, the case. If you're willing to experiment, you sort of, you know, you redefine the ruler you measure yourself against, you know, otherwise you're always going to end up in a safe space and it's going to get dull.
And that is 3D, or Robert Del Naja from Massive Attack, having a conversation with Richard Kingsmill from the Triple J Archives, of course, in about 1998, which was on the release of Mezzanine, absolutely gorgeous album. This is Double J and the J-Files. I'm Fenella. Great to have your company as we explore the music, the sound and the feel, of course, of Massive Attack on their 26th year, I've got to say. And, of course, now it's time for the Massive Attack quiz, and we want you. As I point my finger towards you, are you a massive Attack fan? Do you love their music? I love their music, but I reckon that you might love their music more. I don't know. You don't need to be a total expert to take part in the quiz, but I reckon you probably do know their music pretty well. So give us a call and get on the quiz. I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-099-55. 1-300-099-55. One more time. 1-300-099-55. Give us a call. The quiz is coming up next. Looking forward to the quiz. This is Paradise Circus, though, for you right now from Massive Attack on Double J.
It's unfortunate that when we feel a storm, we can roll ourselves over. We like it when we're spinning in his grin.
Yep, that track, that album, and that voice, absolutely beautiful, from Heligoland. Hope Sandoval, otherwise known as the vocalist, yes, from Mazzy Star. 2010, that album was released, absolutely gorgeous, and Paradise Circus for you on Double J as we explore the music of Massive Attack in our J-Files. And if you wanted to give us a call, take part in our quiz, 1-300-099-55, 1-300-099-55. But yes, it is quiz time. That's pretty sexy theme music. I wasn't quite expecting that on a Massive Attack. J-Files. Vanilla's my name. We're talking about Massive Attack, and we've got a whole bunch of questions for you as we explore the beauty of that incredible group hailing out of Bristol. A whole bunch of folk already on the line who are ready and prepared to hopefully maybe declare themselves as the expert Massive Attack fans of the entire universe. Pleased to be joined by Anthony in Darwin. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
You got a favourite? Well. You got a favourite Massive Attack song?
Oh, Unfinished Sympathy, I'd say.
Okay, that's a good one. Are you ready for question number one?
I'll do my best.
Okay, here we go. Massive Attack end one of their albums with a cover song. I want you to tell me who the artist is and what is the song.
Honestly, I wouldn't have a clue.
All right, you hazard a guess?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't, honestly. I used to listen to that band in the 90s when I was younger on Triple J.
Yeah.
And I was actually just watching television.
And there you go. All right. Well, thanks very much for the call. Keep on listening. Right. Good on you.
Okay.
All right. Joining me now is Chris from Melbourne. G'day, Chris.
G'day. How you going?
Good, mate. Favourite song for you?
It has to be Teardrop.
Ah, beautiful. So gorgeous. Did you hear the question?
Yeah, I did. And I reckon it's off the Protection album and... Light My Fire.
Ah, that's the one. Good one. Here it is. Have a listen. Chris, I'm doing some serious chair dancing and head nodding. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
It's so great. And yeah, you're right too. So off Protection, good one. You've got your first came off the rank, my friend. Ready for question number two, Chris?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Number two, name the reggae star whose song, You Are My Angel, became Angel on Mezzanine.
The reggae star whose song became the song Angel. Oh,
are you ready? Can you do it?
Hang on.
No, yeah, wait.
3 seconds. No, I can't.
Okay, all right, mate. Thanks very much for your call. All right, this is Double J, 1-300-099-55. If you want to give us a call, let's try and see if Noel from Wodonga knows the answer. Your favourite song is Unfinished Sympathy, Noel.
Yes, that's right. And I'm in Wollonga in South Australia, not Wodonga.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, good to have you on the show. So Unfinished Sympathy, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. The question is, of course, name the reggae star whose song, You Are My Angel, became Angel on Mezzanine. Noel?
I'm just hazarding a guess here, but I'm guessing Horace Andy.
Yes, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. Hang on, I'm going to try and play something which I think will be fun. Hang on. Yay! Good one. Okay, question number three for you, Noel. How many of Massive Attack's 5 albums has Horace Andy appeared on?
I'd say Blue Lines. I'm guessing 2.
2, no. Thanks very much for the call.
No problem, thank you.
Alrighty, this is Double J. We're doing the Massive Attack J-Files. Give us a call, 1-300-0-999-55. Got a bunch of questions through already. 1-300-0-999-55. We'd love to hear from you. And joining me is Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Awesome. It's just I love the J-Files. I tune in, but this is an awesome one.
Oh, that's good to know. I love Massive Attack. So, okay, so if you love Massive Attack and you know it, we've already identified Horace Andy as being question number 2. So how many of Massive Attack's 5 albums has Horace Andy appeared on?
Well, I'm going to say either 4 or 5.
Evil Thor 4 or 5, yep. You got it.
Yeah, okay, cool, I'll take it.
You're in, you'll take it. Okay, question number 4 for you, Will. In 1996, Tina Turner, another legend, had a huge hit in the United States charts with a cover of a Massive Attack song. What was the song?
Oh, my God. That has stumped me.
Can you do it? Going once?
No, I'm going to pass it on.
All right. Thanks, mate. Thanks for the call. I'm having fun playing with these clanging sounds. Let's see who's coming up next. I'm going to try Donna, who's in. Hello, who's this?
This is Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. Are you ready for our next question?
Yeah, I think I am.
The Massive Attack J-Files. Give us a call, 1-300-0-999-55. In 1996, Tina Turner had a huge hit in the United States charts with a cover of a Massive Attack song. Can you tell me what the song was?
Oh, that's a horror question.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a good one, but it's a horror.
Okay, here's a clue. I haven't played it yet.
Teardrop?
No, it wasn't Teardrop. One more guess?
This is too hard.
Too
hard? Tina Turner.
Yeah,
seriously?
She did it. Yeah, Tina Turner. No, can't do it. No, no.
Oh, Unfinished Sympathy.
Oh, my God, you did it. How about that? Hang on, here we go. Good one. Have a listen. This is it. You're the book that I have opened. And now I've got to know my Alrighty, this is the J-Files doing Massive Attacks. This is my first ever quiz, my friends, and unfortunately I've just lost Chris. So Chris, do give us a call back, 1-300-0-999-55. As we search, we explore, we fall in love all over again with the gorgeousness of Massive Attack, and I'm pleased to be joined by Donna. G'day, Donna, how are you?
Hello, good, thanks.
Do you have a favourite Massive Attack track?
It's Paradise Circus.
I played it just before. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, Chris just answered correctly, which was the track, of course, that Tina Turner had, Massive Attack cover, Unfinished Sympathy, and I just played that amazing track. So we'll see. We might get that one in a little bit later on tonight. But this is a good one for you, Donna.
Okay.
Massive Attack have worked with many different vocalists over the years, and I'm going to now play you a montage that includes 5 of them. We need you to name at least 3, okay?
Okay.
Have a listen.
Look at her with her eyes. Drops on rock.
sparks fall fast and fleeting.
Let not another child.
Is there enough in there?
There you go, Donna. We heard five vocalists. What do you reckon?
Damien Albarn.
Okay, yep.
One from Paradise Circus. And I've just gone blank.
Oh, can you do it?
I think Uncle was there.
No.
No.
Okay. Oh, thanks very much for the call, Donna.
Sorry.
Thanks, bye. The J5.
Indeed. Okay. Guess who's back on the line? My incredible work. Chris, g'day.
G'day. Hey, Jenny.
You're here again. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, I'll give it another crack.
I'll give it another crack. We're actually moving up to the next question now because you got that one right.
Yep.
Okay. So they've worked with different vocalists, many different vocalists over the years, which is fantastic. Here is a montage that includes five of them. We've already heard one of the answers tonight, which was Damon Albarn. I'll play it for you again. We need you to name at least three of them.
Ears know that my eyes are closed. Look at her with her eyes.
Drops on rocks fall fast and fleeting.
Let not another child.
Chris, what do you reckon? Can you name me some artists?
Do you know what? If I had my glasses...
You can't do it?
I'd be able to do it. But look, all I can say is if you ask the producers, I'd be right.
You'd be
there,
right there.
I can't do vocals.
No worries, mate. Thanks for the call. Good on you.
No, sorry.
1-300-0-999-55 on the Massive Attack J-Files quiz, the quiz of joy. It's all good. Fenella's my name. It's great to have your company. Another Chris. This is the real Chris. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Are you back?
I'm back.
All righty. We've had one answer already with our last question, so I'll play it for you again. Did you hear the song? Did you hear the mix of the vocalists?
No, I did the right thing and turned my radio down.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So Massive Attack worked with many different vocalists over the years. Here's a montage of five of them. We've had one already from Donna, Damon Albarn. I need you to name at least three of them.
Look at her with her eyes.
Drops on rocks fall fast and fleeting.
Let not another child.
Is there enough in there?
So, Chris.
Okay, well, Damon Albarn, definitely.
Yep.
Hope Sandoval, obviously.
Good one.
Was Martina Topley Bird one of them?
No.
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 Okay.
That's it? Never mind.
Okay.
All right, mate. Thanks very much. Thanks for calling back too.
Okay. Cheers.
I just love playing that sound. Sorry. I know it's absolutely random. This is the J-Files, of course, here on Double J. G'day, Rob.
Hello.
Dissolved Girls, your favourite?
Yes.
That's good. Mezzanine, oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you hear the sample of all our vocalists before?
Yeah, I think I've got another two for you.
Okay, go for it.
I won't get his last name, but Tunde from TV on the Radio.
That's the one, Tunde Adebimpe.
Yeah, and
well, that's three. Give us another one.
Oh, Liz Fraser.
Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to know who the other one was?
I think it was the second one. I'm not sure.
In order, Elizabeth Fraser, Hope Sandoval, Tunde Adebimpe from TV on the Radio. The last one was Damon Albarn, and the second last one was, she was on 100th Window.
Oh, Sinead O'Connor.
That's the one. Very good. Tick. Hang on. Here we go. Our final question tonight. Rob?
Righto.
Are you ready for it?
You might be
crowned the Massive Attack expert. All righty.
We'll see.
Here we go. Massive Attack, remixed a track by which artist to be used in the closing credits of Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge?
Oof.
Yeah, oof.
David Bowie?
Oh, my gosh. Hang on. Amazing. Absolutely incredible stuff. You won our Massive Attack quiz. Thanks so much. Good on you, Rob. Stay on the line. Cheers. And we'll get you a double J pack of sweet goodness. Should all be good. Fenella Kernebone, of course, is my name. This is the Massive Attack J-Files. What fun, what joy. If you want to send a text, 0408-345-555, or you can tweet in hashtag J-Files on Twitter. I'm going to press this button. It's going to be magic, and it's going to play an incredible song, and it's going to be called Hymn of the Big Wheel from Massive Attack. Glorious stuff.
The J-Files. Call 1-300-099-55 or text 0408-245-555.
My name is Eric Bowden. I play the drums in Little Dragon. Massive Attack had a big impact on me musically, you know, with the percussions and the drums. And I loved hip-hop, and they brought another flavor into my sphere of hip-hop. Of course, I heard drum machines before, but they really took it to... it feels like they reintroduced, you know, the early 80s electro drum machines. Yeah, I think they just inspired us in the way, you know, that they went deeper than the average pop music. You know, they took it a little bit more emotional, you know. They really stood out, you know. I think when I grew up, like being a teenager, they were so different, and they really took the kind of electronica to a new level. Well, they're probably the grandfathers of electronica.
The J-Files.
A track from 100th Window, the album that was released in 2003 that featured pretty much just one member of Massive Attack. They had a bit of some disagreements at that time. So 3D put out that album. Daddy G and Andrew Vowles bowed out for that one. But they came back again, of course, as we well know. But that one, of course, featuring the sounds of Sinead O'Connor, A Prayer for England on the Massive Attack J-Files. I'm Fenella. Great to have your company here on Double J. That one followed on from another one from Blue Lines and Hymn of the Big Wheel. Absolutely gorgeous stuff.
The J-Files.
Immense. It wraps you up and completely envelops you.
Kind of spooky, scary, epic.
It's very sexy and sensual.
Interesting and incredible, lyrical and melodious.
Mesmerizing.
Experimental electro reggae.
Lush.
The J-Files.
On Double J.
Indeed. This is Double J and the J-Files. I tell you what, it's been fantastic to read and to get an understanding of some of the tracks that you love from Massive Attack, from the 26 years that their career as Massive Attack has encompassed, and even prior to that as the Wild Bunch. Really amazing artists and incredibly influential. And we've heard so many really important other musicians talk about the influence that Massive Attack have had. So again, some amazing sort of ideas and thoughts from you on Twitter. Fred Nerks wrote in and said, every muso wants to be different, unique, have something special. Massive Attack have it by the boatload. And then Ned sent in a text, 16 years old. I'm 16 years old and I have been a big fan of Massive Attack since I was really young, thanks to my father's influence. What a top dad. He gets prizes. And my favourite song is What Your Soul Sings, because it has that sort of vibe that takes you to another place. I think that's kind of one of the reasons why I've always adored their music as well, because it does exactly that. They have that incredible power to just transport you somewhere else. You can just close your eyes and listen to their albums from start to finish, and you are, as Ned said, somewhere else. It's just gorgeous. And they've been so influential, Massive Attack, over the years. They've been covered and copied, you name it, sampled. They've done a lot of sampling themselves, as we know, but they've certainly had a big influence on many artists. And Simon Marland sent us a tweet and tipped me off about a live recording of Jose Gonzalez that Triple J recorded in 2007 at the Factory Theatre. And I know we've played this track already, but you know what? Let's do it. Let's have a listen to Jose Gonzalez's version live, recorded by Triple J, of Teardrop.
Thank you so much, everyone. You've been a lovely crowd. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Jose Gonzalez. His live version from 2007 of the epic song called Teardrop. Absolutely gorgeous. Gabe Murphy writes in, "Last year I travelled to Bristol. Even though Massive Attack are a world away, their music affects me like no other. Steve Nelson, guarantee I'll be listening to At Massive Attack when I go to bed tonight. Thanks to Double J and the J-Files." And Ding says, "You're giving my ears an orgasm tonight." Oh, not a bad thing, not a bad thing. What's coming up next week on The J-Files?
The J-Files. Vinyls are a huge part of Australia's rock and roll history.
The music that we make is the music that comes from us, really. We don't sort of consciously try and sound like anybody else.
With the empowered and charismatic Chrissy Amphlett out the front, Australian rock and roll was no longer a boys' club. We'll look at the band's importance and their incredible songs on the Divinyls J-Files. Next Thursday night at 8 on Double J.
And that will be absolutely epic. I tell you what, it's been an incredible night. My name's Fenella Kernebone. Been really wonderful to have your company here on the J-Files, celebrating the music of Massive Attack. You can read this J-Files at doublej.net.au. Make sure you get over there. It's definitely worth a read. And you can find out so much more, doublej.net.au. Big thanks to the J-Files team, Sam Lee, Dan Condon, Chloe Lake, Dan Bahaja and Mike Williams. We have to wrap it up now. From Blue Lines, you guessed it, Unfinished Sympathy. See you later.
J-Files.